Welcome to 1 Corinthians Introduction, titled, Bless This Mess. When God created everything, he made some of his creatures with free will. This made it possible for them to challenge his will and his plan. And when they did, it made a mess. Although this rebellion occurred in the spiritual and physical realm, God promised a merciful redemption on earth. Jesus, 4,000 years later, was made to be the promised seed of the woman who brought a right standing with God for sinful man through his death and resurrection. Although man could now be redeemed and reconciled to God, he still has free will, even after redemption, after getting saved, and that can be used to good or to bad effect. When a Christian misuses their free will and chooses to think and live outside God's direction, it still makes a mess. This study looks at the first attempt to correct the wrong use of free will in the Christian church and bless and clean up that mess. The first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, also known as 1 Corinthians or 1 Cor, is the largest church epistle with 40 more words than the next largest, which is Romans, even though Romans is the first listed. 1 Corinthians is a reproof epistle. It corrects the wrong practice of the gospel God introduced in Romans 12 through 16. In what ways were the Corinthians wrongly living the gospel? And not surprisingly, in similar ways that we see today. In some ways, the epistle seems like it was just written yesterday, with many of the challenges seen with newer Christians in today's church. The gospel, like human nature, are realities that transcend time and place. Now, before we start reading the epistle, let's read about the beginning of the Christian church, or the Corinthian church, rather. Paul was an itinerant Christian evangelist, and him and a few companions were traveling across the upper northwest Mediterranean area around 50 AD. They had varying degrees of success and travail throughout Galatia and Asia, then in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and finally in Athens, where Paul addressed the Grecian elites at the Areopagus, which is where the ancient court of Athens met in the shadow of the Acropolis. In Acts 18:1, it says, "After these things he, Paul, departed from Athens and came to Corinth." When did Paul visit Corinth? It was toward the end of his second missionary journey, as recorded in Acts 15 through 18. In Acts 18:2 and forward, it says, "And he found certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them." Paul came to those guys, Priscilla and Aquila, "and because it was the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working together because they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, trying to persuade both Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was wholly occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they," the Jews, "opposed him and insulted him, he shook out his clothes and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. From now on, I'm going to go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from them and went to the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, a God-fearing Greek whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul by a vision at night, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many people in the city.' And he," Paul, "stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews rose up with one accord against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, 'This man is persuading the people to worship God contrary to the law.' And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, 'If indeed it were a matter of injury or evil crime, O you Jews, reason would dictate that I should put up with you. But if these are questions about words and names and your own law, look to it yourself. I do not intend to be a judge of these matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. And they, the Jews, all took hold of Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Yet none of these things were a concern for Gallio. Now Paul, having still remained a considerable number of days after that, said goodbye to the brothers and sisters, and sailed from there to Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. In Cenchrea he shaved his head, for he had taken a vow. So let's quickly recap the Corinthian history in Genesis, the beginning of them. Paul comes to Corinth and finds a fellow Jew tent maker by trade, Aquila, who either hired him or partnered with Paul occupationally and invited him to the local synagogue. Paul, whose Jewish credentials were unmatched, was allowed to speak in the weekly gathering, and he preached the living fulfillment of the Mosaic law of Jesus Christ. When opposition to the gospel reached critical mass, he exited the synagogue with those who believed, including Crispus, the former synagogue leader, and others. Paul announced that he would direct his message, the gospel, to the large Gentile population from the location of a Greek proselyte's home, which was next to the synagogue. He ministered at Corinth for an unprecedented 18 months. This is amazing investment of his time, considering what God had revealed to him and his calling to the world. This was an important investment of God in Paul. In Acts 18:8 and to 11, it says, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized, and he stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." This situation was, again, unprecedented on this missionary journey. Paul's preaching would usually be either rejected or bear some fruit, and then also opposition would pop up, and the Apostle Paul and his companions usually made a quick exit. God announcing that Paul could stay and teach was a whole new development in two different ways. First, that not only he could preach, but he could preach the gospel, which is joyfully announced, but you could also teach the new converts systematically what Christ did for them and what he was in them and how to live in that light. Secondly, you didn't have any persecution for a while. He had an opportunity to grow a large fellowship. So what did he teach him for 18 months? Well, that information is detailed in what we today call the Epistle of Paul to the Romans today. The information in Romans was the foundational revelation in the first century church regarding salvation that Paul preached at Corinth. Paul taught them, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, just as the Corinthian church also began. He taught them the gospel of Christ and its lifestyle. This was his first opportunity to start and disciple a church, the first time he was able to see the effects the gospel had on converts and the challenges Gentiles had in adopting its lifestyle. It was also the first time the sacred secret, or it sometimes is called the great mystery, was able to be taught and attempted to be lived. It was revolutionary and radical beyond anything imaginable at that time, and it still is today. As we go through 1 Corinthians, we won't be looking at it through a microscope, guys. Although there's research behind what I'm sharing, I want to share, quote-unquote, what time it is, not, quote-unquote, how to build a watch. Original language words are included only when they illustrate meaning or clarify English concepts. There's a lot of research on Corinth and Corinthians that's available if you're so inclined. Perhaps a good beginning spot would be the commentary on the Revised English Version, which is the Bible version that we'll be using that's available online, and it has an excellent commentary section. The aspects of Corinthians I'm going to be highlighting are a few figures of speech, some historical and geographical background, first century Greek, Roman, and Corinthian culture. I'll also be hitting biblical context, both the near and the far context, and also basic church epistle and grace administration logical thinking, of which unfortunately a lot is lacking in this regard concerning all the church epistles. So at first, we're just going to go at one Bible chapter per sharing until we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then it's going to considerably slow down, and we'll pull out the microscope then. Because of today's ignorance and wrong teaching on spiritual matters, we'll delve into this more carefully and deeply. So are you ready? You might want to grab some spiritual diapers and wipes, because we have a few messes to clean up from the infant, toddler Corinthian Christians. Perhaps there, and our favorite prayer should be, Lord, bless this mess.